Mark's head bobbed in time with the beat of drums that sounded all around him. There were so many, the rhythm was almost hypnotic. Mark slouched back in his seat and stared at the heads of the hooded men who moved along with him. He realized he was being carried in a sedan chair. He smiled broadly at all the attention he was getting and felt a wet stickiness on his upper lip. Mark ran his finger under his nose.
Huh? Yeah, another nosebleed.
He blinked, trying to remember where they were going. He knew that something was supposed to happen, and he had to be there. A set of golden doors opened before them, and Mark's bearers carried him into a vast open chamber draped in silks of purple and gold. 200 men, all dressed in green, stood by in silence, their heads bowed beneath their hoods. Mark tried to take it all in. Of all those gathered here, the only ones not wearing hoods were himself and Adam. When Mark spotted his host, he was momentarily tempted to call out, but some inner voice stopped him. He knew this was important. He sat and watched. At the far end of the chamber, atop a marble dais, Adam sat in a lotus position on a simple woven mat. He wore only a cotton breechcloth, a light sheen of perspiration glistening over the muscles of his upper body. Behind him knelt a hooded man, brandishing a ceremonial dagger. As the drums beat on, the underling first kissed the blade and then began to shave the head of his master. The hooded man worked quickly and with great precision. In minutes, Adam's scalp was bare. The underling left not a single nick or cut. When he was finished, the only hair that remained on his master's head were the eyebrows and two tufts of beard on the lower jaw, framing a strong, prominent chin. As Mark looked on, Adam rose. Four hooded men scurried to Adam's side, bringing with them new vestments. For several moments, Adam all but disappeared from view as the underling surrounded him, dressing him. Then they stepped aside, and he strode to the edge of the dais. He stood before them all, dressed from head to foot in sleek, golden metal mesh. A toga of forest green hung from his left shoulder to his knees, held at his waist by a broad golden belt. In his left hand, he grasped a long golden staff topped with a carved head of a great hooded serpent. A final underling approached him from behind and fitted an ornate mask and hood into place over his head, concealing all of his face above the mouth. The golden man raised the staff high above his head.
All hail the most holy one! Hail the Lamanada!
His followers to a man bowed low as their lord and master descended the marble steps at the front of the dais. The Naja Naja approached the sedan chair and raised his right hand in greeting.
Well, Brother Mark, what do you think of us now?
That's one of the bravest things I've ever seen.
Brave? What do you mean?
Well, there's no way I would ever let anybody dry shave me like that. How do you do that without drawing blood?
Well, the secret is in using a very sharp blade and employing a faithful man with a very steady hand. But the shaving is just part of the ritual. This, all of this, is all very important to us, as well as to you. Here we prepare for the greatness that is yet to come.
Uh-huh. Gonna be great, all right. Nobody's ever tried anything this big before. When we're done, the big nations will be lining up to fill our pockets.
A glazed look came over Mark's eyes again, and another trickle of blood appeared at the corner of his nose.
They'll pay anything to have good weather again. We'll be richer than Croesus. We'll have it all the money in the world.
Yes, the world will soon learn our intentions, but we must part company now.
We must?
Yes, Brother Mark. As I have told you, I have many enemies in this world. I must travel far from here so that you may remain safe and in control. But I shall remain in close communication with you. My words to your ears. You understand?
I gotcha, Sahib.
Mark winked and weakly curled his left hand, pointing his index finger like the barrel of a gun.
We'll show him. We'll show him all.
Yes, yes. But it is important that you relax now.
The Naja Naja waved his hand in a serpentine pattern before Mark's eyes.
You must save yourself for the missions yet to come. Sleep, my friend. Sleep.
Mark went limp and slumped back against the sedan chair, dead to the world.
Take him to Vault 7 and prepare for the Omega mission.
Your will be done, most holy one.
The Naja watched as the unconscious man was borne away. Then, he turned and retraced his steps across the chamber. But as he strode to the foot of the marble steps, one hooded man separated from the crowd and ran, bowing and scraping, after him.
Oh, great Naja!
What? Who dares?
A thousand pardons, Sahib. I but seek enlightenment. The words Brother Mark spoke leave me confused. They had the sound of extortion.
Silence!
He raised the staff high, and all averted their eyes. The groveling man pressed his face to the floor.
You seek enlightenment, fool? Very well. Know you this. In his earlier life, Brother Mark was a gifted man, yet a common criminal. He was led into our service by the suggestion that the weather could be used as a tool to extort tribute from the governments of the world. That was merely the initial ploy used to enthrall him. The truth is something he need not know, nor would he understand.
I see, Most Holy One. Forgive me.
No.
But, Sahib, I was...
The Naja never forgives doubters.
He brought his staff down sharply. A trapdoor yawned open just 3 feet behind the groveling man. The master then lifted the man up by the throat.
Please, Sahib, I never meant. I am a devoted follower. Anything you've asked of me, I have done.
All who doubt must be disciplined for their sin.
The doubter picked himself up from the floor of the chamber below. The only illumination came from the shaft of light shining down from the open trap above, and the room bore a strong stench of blood and offal. A huge, hulking shadow fell across the doubter.
No! Most Holy One! No! Not the servitor!
Please! Mercy!
High above the Earth, the Watchtower hung over the Western Hemisphere in geosynchronous orbit. Unless deliberately moved, it would always remain in the same location relative to the surface. Afternoon was just turning to twilight along the east coast of the United States far below when Wonder Woman, The Flash, Manhunter, The Atom, and Green Lantern joined Superman in the Watchtower's innermost chamber. As the Justice League took their seats, Superman paced impatiently around their big circular meeting table.
Still no word from the Batman?
The Atom adjusted the headset he wore over his mask, checking with the satellite's communication systems via remote hookup.
None. I've been trying all day, but I still haven't been able to raise him.
Batman must be preoccupied. He often goes incommunicado when he's on a personal mission.
Oh, you guys know the Batman a lot better than I do. I can never figure out why he does half the stuff he does.
Ah, don't let it bug you, Kyle. You're not alone on that score. I mean, I think fast, but the Bat is always a page or two ahead of me.
As much as I respect the Batman's abilities, perhaps we should start without him, Superman. The situation we face is of pressing importance.
Yes, you're right, John. As current chairman, I hereby convene this special council of the Justice League of America to discuss the current weather emergencies. You'll recall that I first suspected something unnatural about the storm we encountered in Anchorage. And everything we've seen since just reinforces my feeling that someone has been deliberately manipulating the weather. It's as if we're all being tested, toyed with, and I may have uncovered a lead.
The Man of Steel briefly outlined what he had learned from questioning Dr. Stratos.
Now, I'm not certain how much credence we should place in his ravings, but if anyone has gotten even a hint of how his satellite system worked, they could conceivably find a way to control the weather.
That fits in with what we know, Superman.
The Atom swung a keyboard up from under the arm of his chair, and a series of small screens inlaid in the table in front of them lit up.
I've been looking for a cause of all this ever since John and Diana helped me recalibrate our global scanners after the Anchorage storm. I still haven't found out what's responsible, but I have found an intriguing common factor.
A map of North America appeared on the screens, showing a series of glowing patterns around the locations of the major weather events.
It's very subtle, but there's definitely an unusual electromagnetic disturbance accompanying each case of extreme weather. Now, whether it's a side effect of the storms or part of what's triggering the fronts, I don't know yet.
This is a good start, Ray. Keep after it. Have you detected any signs of particle beam transmissions?
None so far. Something that radical should stand out like a sore thumb, but I'll expand the spectrum search.
This computer stuff is way out of my field of expertise. But being in the middle of the Ivytown blizzard convinced me that something weird is at work here. And we better get to the bottom of it fast.
Agreed. Presuming that there is a deliberate agent behind the weather, who would have the power to do this? Let's consider possible suspects. I see that Mr. Freeze is currently locked away in Arkham Asylum.
I've already been thinking along those lines, John. If you'll check my database, you'll see that the Weather Wizard escaped from federal custody, again, a couple of months ago. I've tried to get a line on him without much luck, but I really don't think the Wiz has anywhere near the power needed to pull off a series of storms this big. There might be a remote chance if he were working with other supertypes with complementary powers, but that's a mighty big if. And my list of other possible weathermen is pretty slim. I mean, there's Heatwave, but he served his time and has gone straight. I checked him out personally. Aside from him, there's Captain Cold, the Icicle, and Chilblain. And I know for a fact that they're all currently behind bars.
I don't know who Stratos' false god might be, Superman, but I'm certain that no Olympian gods are involved. Have any of you considered the possibility of an alien menace? Brainiac, perhaps, or Kanjar Roe?
Before Superman could reply, a wall-sized display screen lit up behind Wonder Woman.
You don't have to look off-world to find the hand behind this, Diana.
The members of the League turned as one to see the on-screen image of the Batman looming over them. He sat regally in a command chair, his black cape draped around him. From the eerily lit stalactites in the background of the picture, it was obvious to Superman and the others that their secretive ally was speaking to them via a direct communications link from his Batcave lair.
Hey, nice of you to finally check in, Bats.
Mr. Chairman, I regret the recent silence I've had to maintain. It was necessary for the purposes of my investigation that our common enemy believe that he was successful in killing me.
By common enemy, do you mean you've been able to identify the force responsible for these weather attacks?
I have. I've yet to locate him, but I know for certain that it's the work of the Naja Naja, the cult leader better known as Cobra.
Cobra?
The international terrorist. Is he capable of such a thing?
He's capable of just about anything, Wonder Woman.
Batman, can you hear me? We're losing you.
I'm getting it here, too.
Now, there's some strange interference in its building.
Is someone trying to jam the frequency?
No, John, this can't be right. It's on all the frequencies, all across the band.
The big screen flickered and rolled, and then a golden-clad figure appeared in sharp relief at three times life-size.
Tim, Cobra.
Speak of the devil.
Superman? We're not the only ones getting this.
On television sets across North America, all regular broadcast and cable programming was suddenly interrupted. A masked, hooded face appeared on all channels.
I am Cobra, the Naja Naja, the chosen leader of the Order of Nulapongu and of my faith. It is now my sacred duty to deliver the gravest of warnings to all the peoples of the world. We stand now at the threshold of a new age, the Kali Yuga, an age of chaos. And for those who do not soon awaken to the truth, it will be an age of doom. In recent days, the world has felt the wrath of nature, and nowhere has nature's sword been felt as it has in America. America has long thought itself blessed, but that blessing is now at an end. America has embraced the unholy. It has become a corrupt state, rotting from within, openly hostile to true faith. My own religion has come under attack. The American Central Intelligence Agency has persecuted and even killed some of my followers. And when we have spoken out against this injustice, they have branded us all as terrorists. Over the past century, America has plundered the riches of other lands and exploited their peoples. It has dictated the course of the world, insisting upon its terms over all others. Americans have befouled its holiest of places with their presence. They are aggressors who delight in humiliating smaller, weaker nations. And, most sadly, as America has spread out across the globe, it has exported its corruption to other nations. It is the destroyer of tradition, polluting the world with its media, its television, its movies, its very culture seduces people, occupying their thoughts with the trivial and stirring their baser emotions and desires. As a result, corruption grows, even amongst believers. America has come to dominate the world. Americans claim to seek peace, but they have brought themselves and the world to the brink of destruction. Americans have been victimized by traitorous behavior on the part of their leaders. They have succumbed to greed. They have become both amoral and immoral. They are openly hostile to seekers of true faith. But they and their judges shall soon themselves be judged by a higher, more natural law. I am not the first to recognize these portents. Thoughtful clerics around the world, some within America itself, have warned the United States of its moral failings and its imminent demise. But even these enlightened few have seen naught but a small glimmering of the truth. The other religions of the world can never perceive the whole of the truth. They have strayed too far from their core beliefs. The twin curses of secularization and modernization have corrupted what pitiful scraps of the truth their earliest prophets had been able to glean. Only the Naja Naja has been blessed to perceive the truth in all its fullness, and I tell you now, a day of reckoning is at hand. Not just for America, but for our entire planet.
Around the globe, wherever there was an active television, radio, or telephone, the voice of Cobra was heard. His image was seen via streaming video on computers worldwide. And in each nation, his voice came across in a language understandable to the majority of the people. In Russian, French, and German, in Farsi, Urdu, and Chinese.
The Kali Yuga,
the age of chaos, is upon us. It will bring about the destruction of all corrupt nations. It shall bring death from the heavens, both by fire and by ice. It shall come in the form of the hurricane, the tornado, and the flood. And there shall be no room in the ark for those who do not believe. All this I know. I have foreseen the conflict, and I welcome it. By the power of my faith, have the forces of nature been unleashed to cleanse the earth of corruption. But I come before you with this message, not out of hatred. Heed my words, not as a threat, but a warning and a prayer for redemption. There is yet hope for an enlightened humanity. Throughout the chaos, the truly righteous, and only the truly righteous, shall prevail. The land shall be purified of the corrupt, and the believer shall triumph over the ungodly. To that end, I now call upon all people of true faith. Reject the ways of the unholy and be spared. Shun the corrupt ways of aggression and exploitation, and we shall all walk together in the sun. Damnation or salvation, the choice is yours.
In the watchtower, Cobra's image froze for an instant, and then flickered out. The screen stayed dark for several seconds as the six members of the Justice League stood in silence. And then, the Batman reappeared on the screen.
He's never tipped his hand like this before. This is even worse than I feared.
Cobra! Dr. Stratus called his abductor the Snake, but I thought he was speaking metaphorically.
Stratus?
A madman I fought a while ago with powers similar to what's going on now. Lightning strikes, controlled weather, the like. He said that the false god claimed to serve the forces of chaos.
The Kali Yuga.
Yes. If Cobra has all of Stratus's secrets...
I don't think that's the source of Cobra's weather control. At least, not solely. If the Naja Nudge had learned all of Stratus's secrets during the abduction, he would have used them long before now. No. I believe that Cobra's controlling the weather through a pawn. He's using Mark Martin, a.k.a. the Weather Wizard.
What? You've gotta be kidding. That's impossible. The Weather Wizard is too small time for this.
Was too small time.
I don't buy it, Bats. Like I was just telling everybody earlier, the Weather Wizard has never shown any ability for controlling weather outside of a small area. And a lot of these weather attacks have happened simultaneously. Martin was never able to do so much over such a wide area before.
He never had the backing of someone like Cobra before. Let me show you something.
The Dark Knight's hand reached off screen to touch the keypad of his own master computer. A series of still photos immediately appeared along the bottom of the League's big monitor.
These are security scans taken at O'Hare Airport in Chicago a little over a month ago. Thanks to some bureaucratic heel-dragging, their face recognition system still has a few bugs in it. But mine doesn't. Watch as I enhance the center photo.
The picture enlarged to twice its size, and the image sharpened to show two men, one wearing a tweed cap pulled low.
Son of a... The guy in the cap is Martin, all right. I'd know him anywhere.
In all of these pictures, Martin seems to be in the company of this bearded man.
Exactly, Diana. He matches the description of a man who had met Martin earlier in a Southside tavern. His hair and beard obscure his face in most of the shots, except this one.
The Batman enlarged and enhanced a section of a photo that had captured the bearded man head-on.
This was a bit of good fortune. As you can see, his eyes, nose, mouth, and most of the right ear are exposed in this image. Analysis shows that they are a perfect match for this man's.
So what sort of fake IDs were they using to get through airport screening?
Ones that needn't pass commercial check-in. They left O'Hare aboard a private jet owned by one of Cobra's dummy corporations. They flew from Chicago to San Francisco, refueled, and filed a flight plan listing Kuala Lumpur as their final destination. The plane never arrived there. Manila's air traffic control lost contact with them over the South China Sea. Given Cobra's speech this evening, we can assume that they didn't crash. They could be anywhere on Earth. I've been trying to trace the source of his signal without any success. Dr. Palmer?
The Atom looked up from his keyboard, suddenly aware that all eyes were on him.
Nothing yet from my end, Batman. But I am able to confirm that the Weather Wizard is mixed up in this. I ran a check of our databanks and found a scope reading of energy emissions from the Wizard in action, recorded almost 10 years ago by Barry Allen. One of the harmonics matches up with the electromagnetic disturbance I detected in the more extreme storms.
Wait, so... why? Robbery and revenge are Martin's chief stock in trade, with maybe a little extortion on the side. I can see him becoming someone's stooge, but why would he throw in with Cobra in his terror cell?
I have no idea how Cobra won him over, but the Naja can be very persuasive.
I don't suppose there's much point in trying to reason with him, is there?
Nope. And even less with his followers, Princess. I once had to stop a dozen or so of his goons, and it wasn't easy. They were trying to set up a command post at the Statue of Liberty, if you can believe that, and they were absolutely crazed.
That's been my experience as well, Lantern. Batman, you're the one who's had the most dealings with Cobra. What can you tell us about him? What can we expect to face?
Unbridled ambition, combined with total fanaticism. I first encountered Cobra in the Swiss Alps. He'd taken over a series of underground bunkers once used by my old enemy Ra's al Ghul. I slipped into Cobra's stronghold, attempting to stop him from killing his own brother. I failed. He killed his brother and got away.
Green Lantern and the Flash looked at each other. They had never before heard the Batman admit to failure. A new image came up on screen of a squad of hooded men wearing gas masks and firing wildly in the direction of the camera.
The next time we crossed paths, Cobra was launching a plan to slay the entire population of Portugal. Aquaman and I managed to stop him, but he got away again. And then there was Cobra's multi-city raid. Some of you were caught up in that.
I can fill in the backstory on that, Bats. I was smack at the heart of it, remember? The attacks were all directed from Keystone City. Cobra had set up a base there, and he had a whole broadcast power thing going. See, due to its location, Keystone is sort of a nexus of energy production and distribution. Hydroelectric, solar, wind, and geothermal. Cobra had tapped into that power grid so that he could beam energy to his goon squads around the country, right, Batman?
Yes. Cobra channeled the energy via satellite to his sleeper agents, who then launched a series of simultaneous raids on Washington, Chicago, New York, Metropolis, and Gotham, which is when Green Lantern, Superman, and I became involved. And while we had our hands full with those attacks...
Cobra used all that power at his disposal to seal Keystone City off from the outside world with a big force field. But I managed to get inside and disrupt his grid. In the process, I overloaded his system and blew his satellite out of the sky.
Satellites again? I wonder if Dr. Stratus's design work figured into that.
It's possible. Cobra's the supreme opportunist, often stealing the technology of others and using it to advance his own causes. He's known to possess high-tech weapon systems that were reverse-engineered from alien sources.
Extraterrestrial science in the hands of such a fanatic?
I'm afraid so, John. Cobra possesses no truly superhuman powers, but that doesn't make him any less of a threat. Even without the alien tech, he's one of the deadliest men alive. Cobra's been schooled in nearly every martial discipline. He maintains himself in superb physical condition, and is a dangerous hand-to-hand combatant. He's bested me in the past. Cobra's charismatic and utterly ruthless. He has seemingly limitless resources, immense wealth, and he will do anything to meet his goals. To sow chaos and disorder, to destroy, and ultimately, to kill everyone who's not a part of his cult.
This is definitely bad news. If a guy like that is in control of the climate, what can we do? We can't fight bad weather.
No. Even if that were possible, it would just be treating the symptoms. We have to hunt down Cobra and Martin and stop them.
Yes. Stopping Cobra is the highest priority. But that won't be easy. Over the years, Cobra has transformed the Order of Nolopambu from little more than a fringe cult into a truly international terror network. He has thousands of agents and assassins. They're mainly young men, but there are women among them as well. Cobra has gathered and indoctrinated angry, disaffected youth from all races and nations into his network. They're fanatics, all utterly devoted to the Naja Naja, and all ready to die for him.
Hey, when have we ever taken on a job that was easy, Bats? We're the Justice League. United, we can take on all comers.
It appears that most of the world is uniting as well, Flash. In the wake of Cobra's address, we are receiving offers to share information from the United Nations and several of the world's major intelligence agencies, as well as requests from several governments for aid in quelling panic.
Cooperation at the highest levels? That's a nice change. Yes, of course we'll help. Ask them to stand by. Everybody, this is going to be one of our most difficult challenges. We will need to draw on all the resources we can. John, I want you to be our liaison to the intelligence agencies. Gather all the data on Cobra that they can provide.
I shall.
Likewise, Diana, we need you to draw on your UN contacts. And I want both of you to compile any usable information and share it with Batman. He's our profiler.
Of course.
One caveat. My role in this must remain secret. Cobra believes I'm dead. It is to our advantage that he continued to believe that.
Fine. No one mentions Batman to anyone outside this chamber. Flash, Green Lantern.
Yes?
You two call up the League's reserve members. Aquaman, Black Canary, Firestorm, Zatanna, Captain Marvel, the Blue Beetle. Divvy up the list and contact anyone and everyone who's available. We'll need them to back us up, especially on emergency rescue work while we're looking for Cobra. And if any of them can provide added intelligence, we want that too. Plastic Man is currently on a special assignment to the FBI. He may be able to help there. All communication is to be routed through the Watchtower, which is going to put a bit of an extra burden on your shoulders, Ray. You've been all but living in orbit, while the rest of us have been preoccupied.
Oh, don't worry about it. I've been enjoying my sabbatical from teaching. I've actually managed to write a new research paper up here, in between playing switchboard and trying to figure out the source of the foul weather.
And we need you to keep looking. If we're going to stop Cobra and the Weather Wizard, first we have to find them. Is there a chance that your scanning system can help track them down?
Possibly. The trick will be in finding a carrier signal and tracing it back to the point of origin. I can't make any guarantees, Superman, but I'll do my best.
I'm sure you will. But you'll need help, with that and with monitor duty. We'll get some of the reserves to back you up, too.
Superman looked around the room. Before him were assembled five of the world's most powerful individuals. On screen was the world's greatest detective.
We're all going to have to pull double duty until this crisis is over. Billions of people are depending on us. We have to do all we can to protect them while we hunt down the man who's threatening them.
We're with you, big guy. Let's go catch us a cobra.
If you haven't been in the hot seat, you don't know Jack. Jack Ryder.
Welcome back to Jack Ryder's Hot Seat. That's right, citizens. The man who's too hot for television is back on the radio, coming to you live across the nation on the Fairbrook Radio Network. If you've got a beef, let's hear it. 1-555-555-5225. That's 1-555-555-JACK. For those of you just joining us, this is our first new show for the Media Barons at dear old Fairbrook. It's Monday the 28th, and we're coming to you live all this week from the luxurious studios of WMET-FM in Metropolis, currently the monsoon capital of America. And by luxurious, I mean one step up from a Gotham City men's room. I really want to thank you guys for redecorating for me. Oh, you laugh. That's my engineer, Rudy Brellisford, who's shooting coffee out of his nose. Say hello to the folks, Rudy.
Hi, folks.
That's why he's behind the board and I'm behind the microphone. The man has a face for radio and a voice for mime. That number again, 1-555-555-JACK. Give me a call and we'll air your beef. Me, I've already got a beef, and you can probably guess what it is. That's right, this Cobra sleaze. I mean, it's bad enough we have to put up with the lousy weather without having some lunatic snake charmer trying to take credit for it. How crazy is he? None of the other snake charmers want anything to do with him. That's a major clue right there. But what do you think? Let's go to the phones. We have Barney from Pittsdale, Iowa on the line. Talk to us, Barney.
Hiya, Jack. It's great to have you back on the air.
My creditors agree with you wholeheartedly.
Yeah, well, I just wanted to say that I'm with you about this Cobra bum. I've had it with all those lowlifes out there putting down the U.S. of A. I think we should track that slime ball down and wipe him and all of his camp followers off the face of the earth.
Well, that's a natural enough reaction.
Yeah, and once we're through with him, there's a lot of others that nobody'd miss.
Oh, you've got a little list, huh?
That's right, and we can start with the Middle East. We ought to just pave over that whole sandbox and string up every last one of those no good...
Okay, that's enough. Let's leave the death list to the Mikado, okay? I always say there's nothing like an intelligent audience, and people like Barney do their best to prove that this is nothing like an intelligent audience. But let's see if we can correct that. Say hello to Donald in Elmond, Virginia.
Hello, Mr. Ryder.
Please, Mr. Ryder was my father. It's just Jack, assuming that you want to be nice.
Okay, Jack. I just wanted to say that I'm as upset by this Cobra business as you are, but we have to be careful about this.
Oh, what do you mean?
Well, Cobra has made a lot of wild claims about controlling the weather, but how do we know he can really do it? I know the government and supposedly even the Justice League believe that he's responsible, but we shouldn't go rushing into things until we're absolutely sure.
Well, what do you think we should do, Don?
I wouldn't do anything. We don't know that he's really done anything wrong.
And that's where you're wrong, pal. First, there's one thing we know Cobra did that's obviously very wrong. He broke in on every radio and television transmission in the world, not to mention interrupting telephone calls, crashing computers, and the like. If he can do that, then hey, maybe he can control the weather, I don't know. But speaking as someone who tries to make a living as a broadcaster, I'd say taking over the airwaves is reason enough to make me want to see Cobra track down, and that's just for starters.
Well,
our number once again is 1-555-555-5225. That's 1-555-555-JACK. What's this? We're actually getting a local call? That's great. Say hello to Stephen in Metropolis.
Hello, Jack. I was just listening to your other callers, and I think they're both wrong.
I couldn't agree more.
The thing of it is, I think you're overlooking something, too.
Well, anything's possible, Stephen. It's a Monday, after all, and I haven't had nearly enough coffee yet.
Cobra's just the latest in a long line of unfairly maligned religious leaders.
Excuse me?
That's right. Cobra is trying to enlighten the world. If we oppose him, we'll just get what's coming to us.
Easy now, Stephen. I think you need to check your medication.
Very funny, Ryder. But you won't be laughing when Cobra manifests in all his greatness.
Ooh, manifests. Now there's a word I don't hear every day. If I didn't know better, I'd say you're a fan of that two-bit would-be Hitler.
You don't know what you're talking about now, Mr. Hot Seat. The Naja Naja is the one true avatar of the Eternal.
Real wrong, fella. Your avatar is nothing but pure scum. Even other terror groups have admitted that Cobra is responsible for a list of atrocities as long as my arm. He's killed, he's tortured.
And you have sealed your doom, Ryder. You will fare no better than the others. The wrath of Cobra shall strike you down.
Buddy, you give me the creeps.
Ryder jammed down hard on the mute button.
Ah, what the hell?
lights flickered in the studio, and the phone lines went dead.
Are we still on the air?
Looks like we're still good, Jack.
Looks like we are. Well, Steven, if that's your real name, I guess your Cobra God isn't as tough as you thought. But our sponsors are. It's time once again to reaffirm our capitalist tendencies. We'll be back after this word from Clambake Bob.
Ryder yanked off his headphones.
What gives, Rudy? I got a shock from the phone when the lines went dead. Is it the storm or did somebody screw up?
You got me, Jack. Everything on the board flickered, too.
Hey, we're about to go back on the air.
You guys won't believe this.
Try me.
A lightning bolt nearly took out one of the dishes on the roof, but he stopped it.
He who?
Superman.
Superman? Is he still up there?
I guess so.
I'm going up, Rudy. Can you get me a live mic up there?
Well, sure, but
let's go!
Moments later, Ryder emerged on the roof of the building to find Superman standing in midair just 12 feet above an array of microwave relay dishes.
Hey, Superman! Over here! It's Jack Ryder!
Get undercover, Ryder!
The bolt of lightning arced down from the sky, catching the caped man full in the chest. But the lightning was diverted to the building's grounding system and safely away, both from the relay dishes and from Ryder.
Superman, are you okay?
The man of tomorrow slowly straightened up, waving the talk jockey off.
Don't get too close. I'm still a little hot.
No kidding, I can see the steam. Superman, I want to thank you for helping to keep me on the air, I mean.
You're lucky I was in town. You made your new show a tempting target to Cobra's followers.
You think? I didn't know you were a listener. So you really believe that Cobra is responsible for this?
Trust me, that wasn't ordinary lightning.
Well, what are you saying? You don't expect me to lay off the creep, do you? Listen, I'm used to getting death threats. I've never walked away from a fight in my life.
Neither have I. For what it's worth, the Thunderheads seem to be letting up, for now. But if it comes back, I can't guarantee I'll be fast enough to keep you on the air. Incidents like this have been happening all across the globe. I can't be everywhere, and neither can the Justice League.
I appreciate your honesty. Could you say a few words to my listeners? A lot of them are worried about Superman.
But the caped man was again standing several feet in the air, looking off to the south, listening to much more than just the voice of the man next to him.
Sorry, Jack. Duty calls.
And 5, 4, 3...
Welcome back to Jack Ryder's Hot Seat, citizens. This morning, we're coming to you live from Metropolis, where you can take it from me. It's a rainy, rainy day.
Superman sliced through the stormy skies, flying south out of Metropolis's central business district. Passing over the West River, he dove down into the residential neighborhoods of the borough of Queensland Park. Not more than 100 feet below him sat a modest apartment building whose most distinguishing feature this morning was a 6-foot hole blasted into the brickwork on the 5th floor. The Man of Steel flew in through the still smoldering opening to find a charred spot on the floor, a shrouded body, two crime scene investigators from the Metropolis Police Department, and Inspector Daniel Turpin.
Superman, what are you doing here?
I overheard a radio report of an unusual lightning strike here, Inspector. I'm a little surprised to find you already on the scene.
Hey, you ain't the only guy who gets around. Seriously, the Vic had just called the Jack Ryder show to put in a good word for Cobra, if you can believe that. The station traced the call and tipped us off. I actually saw the strike from a few blocks away. You know, this place would still be burning if not for the building superintendent. He broke down the door and used an extinguisher to put out the fire. Come get a load of what he saved for us.
The inspector led Superman to a closet at the back of the room. Inside were a small arsenal of weapons and a hooded coverall of green metallic mesh.
Cobra cult gear.
Yeah. We're lucky the fire didn't reach that weapons cache. We could have lost the whole block. This guy had enough ordnance in here to give the special crimes unit a run for their money.
And you're certain that the victim is the apartment's resident?
Got a tentative, pending a DNA check, but it's pretty solid. His face was mostly untouched. Superintendent ID'd him, and he looks like the face on his driver's license. But check this out.
Turpin pulled back a corner of the shroud, and there, visible on the dead man's shoulder, was the ritual cobra tattoo of the Order of Nolopambu.
Damn fool can't even spell his name right. Who calls himself Cobra with a K? Guy's supposed to be controlling the weather, and here a lightning bolt goes and takes out a friendly zealot by accident.
Accident, Inspector? I doubt it.
On the outskirts of Gotham City, hidden far beneath the sprawling grounds and stately edifice of Wayne Manor, stretched a cavern that housed the secret subterranean headquarters of the Batman. He seldom spoke of this Batcave, and few, very, very few, even knew of its existence. Access was tightly restricted. To know the location of the Batcave was to know that Bruce Wayne, heir to a multi-billion-dollar family fortune, CEO of Wayne Enterprises, and trustee of the nonprofit Wayne Foundation, was also the Batman. Late Monday afternoon found the Dark Knight seated before the supercomputer that housed his vast databases. The detective's eyes flashed from window to window on the huge monitor before him. His mind analyzed the new incoming data, relayed from the Justice League, nearly as fast as his microprocessors. When a figure approached him from behind, he didn't even bother to glance back.
What is it, Alfred?
Because you ingested nothing more than one of those abominable protein shakes for lunch, I thought I would prepare something more substantial for dinner. You do recall dinner, don't you, sir? Chief meal of the day, often eaten in the company of others.
I'll have mine down here.
Of course you will. Beef or fish?
It doesn't matter.
No, I suppose it does not. Extraordinarily drafty down here today. I don't know how you step. Sir, you have a visitor.
The Batman swiveled his chair around.
I see that I need to improve my security systems.
Don't bother getting up on my account, Bruce. You should be taking it easy until those ribs have had a chance to heal completely.
Nice of you to be concerned about my health, but at the moment I don't have time to take it easy. See anything else on my x-ray?
I don't need x-ray vision to diagnose your problem. I could tell just from watching you on the League's monitor that you'd been injured. It was clear from the way you moved, or didn't.
We'll make a detective out of you yet.
I do my best.
I beg your pardon, sir. Will you be joining us for dinner? I could offer you a lovely fillet of salmon, or perhaps beef bourguignon.
Thanks for the invitation, Alfred. But I'm afraid I can't stay long.
Ah, well, perhaps another time, then.
The butler gave a half bow and strode away. As he disappeared into a nearby elevator, Superman turned back to the Batman.
Any new word on Cobra?
Not yet, but I'm chasing down several leads.
We have to put an end to this, Bruce.
We will. Cobra's ego will trip him up. His global address was proof of that. It all fit in with his desire to sow terror around the world, but he could have kept his mouth shut and still achieved that goal. No. He wanted people to know who was responsible for their misery.
Stratus made the same mistake. I need your help in trying to understand Cobra. You fought him before. One of his cultists was killed by an errant bolt of lightning earlier today.
An accident?
I doubt it.
So do I. It's much more likely that Cobra eliminated an agent who had acted out of turn.
Out of turn? The man was publicly supporting Cobra, and he gets eliminated just like that? Why? Why is Cobra doing this?
For much the same reason that you do what you do, Clark. It's how he was raised. Like you, he never knew his biological parents. But unlike you, he never knew a normal childhood. You were brought up by the Kents on a working farm, learning responsibility every step along the way. He was abducted by an already fanatical cult, and raised to believe that he was essentially the Second Coming. Cobra's father was an American industrialist, very ambitious, very much the corporate empire builder, but he tended to play fair. He wasn't one of the bad ones.
More a Steve Jobs or a Lee Iacocca than a Lex Luthor?
Exactly. And Cobra's mother was a biologist from India. I have no doubt that they would have provided a good home for both their sons, if only they'd had the chance. Their twins, conjoined twins, Cobra and his brother, were born during a visit the couple made back to the subcontinent. The boys were separated after a day-long operation, and his parents were told that one of the children had died. They were heartbroken and returned to the United States with their surviving son. They went to their graves never knowing that their other child was alive. He had actually been abducted by one of the hospital's doctors, an intense fellow who secretly belonged to the Order of Nullapambu. The doctor saw the infant as the reincarnated avatar of his Cobra god. The boy was raised by the cult to be their new leader, and on his 21st birthday, he underwent a bizarre ritual and was anointed as the Naja Naja. Once the Order recognized him as the avatar of their god, He seized control of the cult and made it what it is today. Game, set, and match.
High tragedy, you mean? But what you've given me, I already know from the files. I need to find out what makes Cobra tick. Does he truly believe that he's the avatar of a god?
I think he believes that he might as well be. He did rebel against the cult elders when he was in his late teens, even left the order for a while. But he wasn't equipped to deal with the real world. The world treated him badly as well. There are reports of a romance, but it didn't work out at all. So he returned to the cult, convinced that his mentors were correct, that the world needed to be totally remade. And he began by remaking the Order into a personality cult. He co-opted Nullapambu, cutting it off from other Cobra cults. For years now, religion has been just another tool to him. But on some level, I think he truly does believe in his image for the world. He's convinced that the planet would be better off with a population in the thousands, rather than in the billions. And all of them believers in the Naja, of course.
So then we have to stop him.
No argument. We'll need all our resources. How much sleep have you had in the past week?
Sleep? 4 or 5 hours? The weather attacks kept me busy, even before we knew of Cobra's involvement.
And some people tell me to take it easy.
My physical requirements are different from yours, Bruce. Let's get back to Cobra. You were saying that the boy endured a bizarre ritual? What did you mean by bizarre? Bizarre by whose standards?
By any standards. After Cobra had beaten over a dozen men in hand-to-hand combat, he had to drink a goblet full of Cobra venom.
Venom?
That's not necessarily as dangerous as it sounds. The venom is considerably less toxic when taken orally.
Yes, but if he'd had any lesions in his mouth or GI tract, if it got into his bloodstream, he'd have been a dead man.
Then, perhaps. Over the years, Cobra has developed immunity to virtually every kind of toxin. He's an accomplished scientist. He synthesizes new analogs of the venoms himself. And though it galls me to admit it, he's always managed to stay ahead of my efforts to synthesize antidotes.
And you're one of the best chemists I know. This is truly tragic, Bruce. Cobra clearly inherited his mother's talent for science, along with his father's ambition and drive. With a different upbringing, he could have become a hero, a pioneering doctor or scientist.
Perhaps. If he'd become a doctor, he'd be the sort who works his interns and residents half to death, but only half, and his patients would live.
But as it is, his people die.
Yes. All of his field agents carry suicide pills. He sometimes uses venom to discipline those followers who offend him.
And yet he still has followers.
Never underestimate the draw of fanaticism, Clark. There are unfortunately many, many people who will swear absolute loyalty to anyone who can give them absolute answers.
I know. It's the one thing I wish I could change about human beings, this terrible yearning for extreme certainty. But venom?
Neurotoxins are a favorite of his. Remember, he once tried to wipe out an entire nation. He intended to smother Portugal under a toxic cloud. He'd probably try stunts like that more often if the compounds were more controllable.
That's right. They're not, normally. It's difficult to make a gas go where you want it. Gases are too easily dispersed by the wind. But
if you could control the wind... Of course. It was staring me in the face the whole time. Cobra and his people set up a death trap for me aboard a freighter. I'd come to think that the component toxins being shipped were just bait to lure me in. But maybe there was more to it than that. Look at these photos. I snapped these in the hold of that freighter. At the time, I couldn't figure out why these plastic ovoids were part of the cargo. But now it occurs to me that they could be part of a delivery system for Cobra's nerve gas. Look at their construction. The containers could be filled with the gas, and then dropped from planes or missiles over major population centers. They would burst open on impact, releasing the toxic gas.
And then after the release, a controlled heat inversion would hold the gas in place until everyone in the targeted area was dead.
Exactly.
He could leave our cities intact while killing everyone in them.
And he would do it without a moment's hesitation.
This just keeps getting more and more horrific. We have to find him, Bruce.
And you have to be careful, Clark.
Me? Why?
I think Cobra's been targeting the members of the Justice League, trying to wear them down. And Superman is target number one. You're the strongest of all of us, but even your power isn't without limits. You're being run ragged by this emergency. Don't deny it, Mr. Chairman. I can see the signs. You're trying to carry the whole load on your shoulders.
You know me too well.
I know Cobra, too. There are a few things he would rather do than humble Superman.
Don't worry. I won't let that happen. I've already been in Cobra's crosshairs once today. But I won't be a sitting duck for him.
Good. We need you. Now more than ever.
You really think I'm his number one target?
Who else? Cobra thinks he already killed the Batman.
A rainy haze obscured the setting sun as Superman descended over the far west side of Metropolis. He touched down on a rooftop helipad and entered the suburban complex of the Scientific and Technological Advanced Research Laboratories. Over the past quarter century, Star Labs had become the world's largest dedicated research and development corporation, with over a dozen laboratory facilities in the United States and Canada alone. Ordinarily, the Metropolis Center would be conducting experiments in dozens of different fields, but now all personnel seemed to be working toward one goal, finding and stopping Cobra. The entire complex was on a war footing. The Man of Tomorrow had taken an elevator down to an underground corridor and through a series of heavily fortified checkpoints to a secure laboratory where Dr. Karen Lou Faulkner was in the midst of a teleconference with the Atom.
Superman!
Hi, Kitty. How have you been?
A lot busier these past few days. Dr. Palmer and I were just comparing our readings from the various weather patterns while we waited for you and our special courier.
Oh, you mean me?
Startled by the red-suited runner's sudden appearance, the guards instinctively drew their sidearms.
Whoa! I'm one of the good guys, fellas. Great reflexes, though. I'm impressed.
Yes. We were expecting him, remember? Everything's under control here. You can go now.
The guards holstered their pistols and departed.
Flash, did you even bother to go through the security check?
Meh. I was told this was a rush job.
He reached down and pulled a small silvery disc from the cuff of his glove.
Here you go, Doc. All the data that my predecessor had compiled on the Weather Wizard, direct from the secret vaults of Central City's Flash Museum via Fleetfoot Express. Sorry I'm late, but there were some emergencies along the way.
Thank you, Flash. You know, there is a branch of STAR in Central City. You could have just transmitted this to us.
I know, but the data was more secure with me. Besides, I'm faster.
A series of mugshots came up on screen, showing full face and profile shots of a dark-haired man, both barefaced and masked. The Flash pointed to the face.
That's our man, Mark Martin, also known as the Weather Wizard. Better known, actually.
As Dr. Faulkner scanned through the data, Superman turned to the Flash.
This is all very helpful, but I'm just as interested in what you can tell us about him.
Are you sure, big guy? I was the one who originally dismissed him as a suspect in this.
Even so, you've had more first-hand experience with him. Any insights you could pass along might be valuable.
Okay, let's see. Before he became the Weather Wizard, Martin was just a run-of-the-mill burglar who had gradually worked his way up from petty to grand larceny. I suppose you could say that he was moderately successful at the breaking and entering part of his craft, but he had a bad habit of getting caught. Mark's real talent was in escaping from police custody. He was pretty canny in that respect, but he never showed much in the way of common sense. His brother Clyde apparently had most of the brains in the family. From all I've ever read, Clyde Martin was a true genius. A real whiz at software design, but the ultimate shut-in. He made a fortune early on and bought an island where he could be by himself and indulge in pure gonzo research just for the hell of it.
He sounds like Dr. Stratus in that regard.
Yeah, I guess he does at that. Clyde also spent several years and a good bit of his fortune studying the weather and trying to find a way to control it. And somehow, he managed to do it. Just before he dropped dead. And depending on whom you talk to, Mark either found his brother slumped over on a keyboard dead of a heart attack, or he killed him. Whatever happened, Mark discovered his brother's work and understood it well enough to set himself up as the Weather Wizard. But even though he could make it rain or snow on your parade, Mark still thought small time. He was able to control the weather, and what did he do? He tried to get revenge on the people who'd locked him away, or he'd set out on a series of high-profile but still largely petty crimes. Barry always stopped him. I've stopped him many times. But like I said, his most natural talent was for escape.
The Flash grew silent as a streaming video capture of the Weather Wizard in action came up on screen. Superman pointed to a freeze-frame image of the wizard.
The source of his power, I take it, is that metal rod?
Sort of, but it seems to be more of a focus. Mark destroyed his brother's notes, so we don't have much to go by. Once, while the Wiz was a guest of the state, Barry turned Martin's magic wand over to the big brains at Star Labs in Central City. They took the thing apart, but even they couldn't figure out how it was supposed to work.
Yes, I see that their reports are included here. Analysis of the rod revealed nothing but a maze of integrated circuits, and ICs don't power anything.
Right. Barry had a hypothesis that Mark might have used some other gizmo of Clyde's to energize the rod, or himself. And for a while, the feds thought that he might be some sort of metahuman. But they put him through a whole series of exams and couldn't find anything out of the ordinary about him or his DNA. However Mark makes that rod work, it seems to work only for him, which suggests that there is something unique about him. It's just that no one has figured it out yet. The most Martin ever told anyone was that he used eolic energy, whatever that's supposed to be, to alter weather patterns.
He was probably being facetious. Aeolus was the Greek god of the winds. Dr. Faulkner, any operating hypotheses from the old star reports?
A few. One possibility is that Martin is able to create a tiny space warp that draws the weather he wants from elsewhere on the planet. But that still doesn't fully account for all the unnatural phenomena that he's generated over the years. The solid rainbows, the flying carpet clouds. One quantum physicist believed that the weather wizard's power could be a phenomenon best described by chaos theory. That part of his report went on for 150 pages of very difficult reading, but he was ultimately unable to explain how it all worked. Or more important, how to counteract it.
But what I can't figure out is how the wiz is using his power on such a large scale all of a sudden. Or how he's directing it. In my experience, whenever Martin worked his weather magic, he always had to be somewhere in the vicinity. But there's been no sign of him anywhere since he dropped out of sight in Chicago over a month ago.
I think we may have an answer to your second question.
Kitty brought an eccentric wave pattern up on the screen.
Dr. Palmer and I managed to isolate the weather wizard's harmonic signal, his electromagnetic signature, as it were, in transmissions from sources in Earth orbit.
From orbit? I knew Stratus' technology was involved in this. Which satellite is transmitting the signal?
That's just the problem. It's not coming from any one satellite. It's coming from all of them.
What?
I'm afraid that's correct, Superman. As you know, I set up the Watchtower's long-range scanners to try to home in on Cobra's weather control system. I was looking for a satellite or a series of satellites, but wasn't finding anything traceable. The energy telltales connected to the weird weather patterns didn't seem to come from any fixed location, nor to the transmission carrier or Cobra's address. So I linked up with STARS tracking systems to both widen and concentrate the search.
And by working together, we eventually found the signal, or rather the signals that we were looking for. Cobra appears to be channeling the wizard's power and transmitting it through a shifting series of satellites, altering the Earth's weather patterns via remote control.
Yes, and I believe the Cobra is amplifying the weather wizard's power, either via Stratos' gear or through the use of some alien technology. Then he splits the energy into different wavelengths and piggybacks them onto signals transmitted over existing communication satellites. His address was sent out in a similar fashion. And here's the really bad news. We can't shut him down without shutting down all worldwide communication as well.
And there's no way to trace the energy?
I didn't say that. There's no easy way, yet. Cobra is employing a system that enables him to bounce the energy from several satellites simultaneously. That's why the signal seems to come from everywhere at once. But I'm confident we'll find a way to zero in on the main source. There's only one weather wizard, right, Flash?
Yes, thank God.
Then we'll find him. It's just gonna take some time.
As fast as you can, people. I hear the weather outside getting stronger.